This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey, everybody. Before we start, I wanted to do a quick plug. Me, Emily, Jake, and Caldwell were just on an episode of Three Black Halflings playing a game called Paradox Perfect. The first episode is out now. It's completely insane. I really think you're going to like it. It's a very fun time travel game. Very fun system. Really encourages the shenanigans. We had a great time with Jasper and Jeremy, as always. So check that out over on the Three Black Halflings feed after this. On with the show.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome to episode zero, everybody.
Episode zero.
Of our campaign three, we're bees or chickens.
Isn't there a toy that you like flick it around with your wrist and it makes that noise?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think so.
I forget what it's called, but I know what you're talking about.
Like
we're the
that.
Buzz Buddies.
Yeah,
I love it. That's the new two crew.
Let's force it, everybody.
Coming to you
force
from the
it
hive.
Early.
Force it early. thank you all so much for joining us. We are doing this a little bit earlier than maybe we thought we were going to, because we are going to start bulk recording in like another like week and a half. So we're really coming up on our recording time. So originally we were like, oh, it'd be neater for the feed if we did episode zero end of January, and then we did episode one beginning of February. But that really leaves us no time to get feedback. We will have already recorded a bunch.
And it would be silly for us to do an episode zero after we'd already recorded a new one.
Exactly.
And also, you know what? I like a sloppy feed.
Yeah.
I like it just a nasty feed. I like people to just have to wait around in
the
there.
The feed
it's
is going to get nasty.
No need for the neat feed.
Yeah. It's January. Everyone is living their best life, being their most pristine habitually wise, and we're just throwing a little splash of end of the year chaos into your feed.
Yep. A little bit of Hogliday chaos.
You're coming over to our house. We have not cleaned up. There's still boxes. The tree's still up, gang. I'm
the tree
so sorry
is
to admit.
Absolutely still up. It's still the Hogliday's. So next week and the week after, you guys will be getting probably a lot live show and a D&D court. But we've got sort of the evolution of what we did at the end of December. We've got our ideas nailed down a little bit better.
Yes.
Em, did you say you still have five ideas?
Six.
Six?
Whoa. Two of them are like one word things that I'm just like, oh, I want to inhabit that energy someday, but I probably won't do that for this. Two of them I've thought like more seriously about, and then two of them I think are like fun ideas, but like I have a reservation about both of them.
Okay.
Let's whittle them.
So you narrowed it down to six.
So I've narrowed it down to six.
Right.
You're welcome.
Okay. Awesome.
I will say, Emily, I'm gonna pitch you something.
Uh-huh.
Six characters, six sides on a D6.
Whoa.
Think about that.
That's interesting. And I could sit this campaign out.
Okay. Interesting that you say that. Okay. I'll give that some thought.
Yeah. Yesterday, Em ran two characters in combat with me.
Oh shit.
Just to see
no,
who was.
No, don't say that, Murph. That's
why?
Private. That's private.
That's not private. That's
funny.
Private. It's not. What is private about that?
I have two that I kind of am gravitating towards the most. So I was like, let me see what I would build these characters to be and see which one is more fun to play.
Right.
Oh.
And then it turned out they were both quite fun to play.
That's cool.
So that's why I'm confused. Really, there were two characters fully built to level 12 that were tested, and I thought those were the ideas, but there's
this
four
does
more.
Sound pretty private, actually. Yeah. I think I'm feeling a little embarrassed.
Incredibly way too private. Intimate. Why not? Pants me in front of the audience, intimate. Murph.
Holy shit. All right,
TMI.
Guys.
TMI.
Well, Em doesn't want to share anything right now. She's somehow, this is all very intimate.
She's gotten very shy.
Yeah. Well, I'm still, she, at the end of December, she was like, I don't want to tell anybody anything. And now she's got her six characters that need to be narrowed down.
You guys need to understand, I am like an octopus. I have eight different legs all working independently, gathering information for me.
This is true.
And you're full of ink.
And I'm full of ink.
So are we going to start with, Em?
I think so.
She's just shaking her head. Okay, so she's not going first.
Let's. All right, fine.
Okay,
but
thank you.
Mia Caldwell will go, but we should roll for it.
Okay,
I like that.
Works.
Oh, we could also all roll for it. I can roll for it.
Okay, yeah, when the dice come out, now Em wants back in.
I don't have any dice by me. Can someone roll for me?
11.
I'll roll for you.
Okay.
Caldwell's roll is a 6. Sorry,
sure.
Buddy. Mine is a 17.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Does that mean I go first or I get to choose the order?
You go first.
Fucking hell,
please.
Okay,
proceed.
My character is called Calder Kilday, the half giant of the Ice Knight.
Whoa,
Calder Kilday.
Oh my god,
it's like my name, but cooler.
Yeah, I actually realized it was similar to your name just before we jumped into the session. But Calder, it means, it's like Scottish for rough and turbulent waters.
Ooh.
Fuck yeah.
So I had the idea that I wanted to be half frost giant from the frigid north and come from a place where there's a frozen waterfall called the Ice Knife.
Oh, and that's cool.
Just the sickest shit.
Yeah.
I understand.
I want to be a giant ice man.
That's awesome.
And so yeah, I'm using Goliath stats. I'm playing an Eldritch Knight, and I found a bunch of like icy, frosty spells.
Ooh, yes.
God damn.
That's awesome.
So did you name the waterfall off of the spell Ice Knife?
No, I actually just was like, I just sometimes say weird geographical locations in like a gruff voice to try to decide where God. I want to be from.
Oh, that's smart.
That one like just fell off my tongue one day and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
The
and then knife. I saw the spell Ice Knife and I
and
was
then
like,
you're
fuck
like,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
This is great.
Oh, it's like that's where the spell originated. They saw this Ice Knife waterfall and then they like replicated it with spells. Love it.
Yeah. Ooh, or maybe and there was like a hermit that lives in the waterfall behind the frozen part and they invented the spell.
Gotta be.
Oh, that's
absolutely
fucking cool. That's very fucking cool.
I
did imagine there being like cavernous caves behind this waterfall, and that's
yeah.
like where we're from.
Whoa.
The snow hermit or snermit.
Snermit. That's my parents.
Snermit the snow hermit.
Jake, it's so crazy that you've never DM'd because you like one of the best parts of DMing, which is saying cool places in a gruff voice.
Yeah, that's true. I would get a real kick out of just like writing the descriptions for a location for someone else.
And then do you think that you'll like, have you thought about like, because Eldritch Knight, you get powers. And have you thought about if like you're going to have had those powers prior or being made a super soldier? Is that how those powers came out?
Oh, that's a really good question.
That is something we should discuss. So
yeah.
So one thing that I think right off the bat I'm going to change from the last time we spoke is I think I'm going to change the name of the company from Milan Inc. to Mothership, just because I like the name Mothership as like a quasi-evil corporation.
Yep.
It just sounds very...
Spoiler,
it's
Murph,
very much like Big
I was holding out for Mothership being a benevolent force.
Well, we don't know. They might be neutral. They might just be lawful neutral. We'll see.
True.
But
hard
then,
for a big thing to be anything.
So there's Mothership, the company, and then the Mothership. So there's the Mothership's Mothership.
Whoa.
Which, you know, we'll have some fun.
Grandmothership.
We'll have some fun. And yeah, so I think the plan was to have you guys know each other. And I know Em is planning on her character having undergone the like Ezri thing that we explored in the first campaign of these like synth Eldritch Knights. She's not playing an Eldritch Knight, but this idea of like these sort of fake sorcerers or these people who got their powers bolstered by undergoing kind of experiments. So my thought...
Well, one of my ideas involves...
One of your ideas. Well, I mean, you have to fit into the world somehow, so presumably...
I'm just joking around.
Right. Let us look at one of the six mirrors in the funhouse and see what we gaze.
So my thought was that you guys were some kind of prototype program, or the reason that you guys knew each other or you guys were together is that you guys all responded in a weird way to the
stimuli.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we were made to be super soldiers, but then like sometimes it's an experimental procedure, and so sometimes they just file them into more grunt work.
if they don't turn out as elite as they hoped. Yeah, so I think you guys, I think where we're going to start is that there's going to be like a new line of Synth Eldritch Knights known as kind of being like the elite. And you guys are from a line of like, you know, you guys are like class D. You guys like did not respond well. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're the ones that the scientists looked at and they went, huh, that's interesting. Yeah. Oh well.
Yeah. And I think with
well,
these
at
like,
least we got good information from it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with this like Esri military having been like tested on and things like that and like created, I think there is like a uniformity to people. Mm-hmm. That you guys don't fit into. So I think it's less about you guys being not powerful or something like that, and it's more about just like you guys did not manifest the normal powers that the normal soldiers would have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So we're like less easy to control, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
I like that. Yeah.
So that's good. So I guess how I'm wondering how that would work for Calder, because
that's going to take some getting used to.
I have a thought is that like this is
hit me.
This is like his iciness is taking over, you know.
Yeah, maybe you were just a normal fighter before, but you had this magic that you could have learned but you didn't know, and the tests, instead of like giving you new magic, brought out your internal magic. And
oh.
Yeah.
So now
that's
it's like
cool.
It's kind
it's like,
of
hey, bud,
to
we
one
actually
of mine,
need you to cast
I think that makes sense.
We need you to cast Misty Step and you keep throwing fucking snowballs.
That's cool. That works with an aspect of my backstory, which was like, I wanted to differentiate him from being like, he was different, so he didn't have any friends.
Yeah.
Like hard ones. So like in my head, I was the smallest. I'm a half giant. I'm like the smallest of these giants.
Yeah.
So, but rather than ostracize me, I had like a very fierce and protective family that sheltered me.
Oh, that's
so funny. That's very sweet.
I gave him a bunch of brothers and like a mom who was very protective. So it's almost like he didn't learn like the magic and the fighting style that he might have if he was like
he was coddled
fully right yeah because yeah. Like you're too small to fight we have to protect you but so then that's almost like a reason why he would have gone to Esri to you know
that's really fun something. I think this is something your character would know, so this isn't really giving anything away, but now that the kind of frost dwarves and the frost giants have like a little bit of peace now, I think one of the things that's going to be happening is that there's going to be fire giants that have been like living under the mountains that have been quietly kind of gaining power this whole time.
Oh my God, my niece would be so excited to hear this. She always just wants to be a frost sorcerer fighting fire giants.
I think is that in the Young Adventurers Guide? Is that one of the
yeah.
She's very into
there's
the
also
lore.
There's something so cool about like I feel like all through Bohemia we would hear about like the giant wars and it was like this war way in the past.
Yeah.
So it's kind of sick that there's like something like brewing with the giants right now.
Yeah, so that's fun. That makes sense for your character's like motivations. This idea that like maybe they wouldn't let you fight the fire giants. They're just like you're too small. We can't send you out
they,
there.
They like, won't let me train, and I want to.
Yeah, it feels a little like a Steve Rogers sort of thing, where like you've got the spunk, but you don't have like the muscle to back it up.
Right.
But then you're also though doing a very smart thing, which is that like you felt small there, but then you're going to show up in Esri, and everyone's going to turn to you to be the.
Yeah, I am 7 foot seven. That's right.
Yeah. A fish that does not fit in a barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that could even give you a little bit of, you know, I think despite your family being very supportive, maybe they were too protective. And so that gave you reason.
Too protective.
That gave you reason to join the super soldier program is to be like, I'm confident enough to leave my hometown, but I still would like to elect for this thing that makes me stronger.
Yeah. It's basically Moana, actually.
Oh, interesting.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
The pig from Moana, right?
I am going to have a really hard time unseeing that. Like,
Please do.
Remembering that.
Called her 7'7". He's super cool.
Moana's cool too, dude.
Yeah, I know she is.
Moana's awesome.
Moana actually, yeah, she's rules. Definitely cooler than Calder.
Yeah.
I also like that Calder is like the beginning of like Caldera. Isn't that what they call like the opening of a volcano? So when you were first saying that, talking about iciness, I was like picturing an ice volcano.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking so sick.
Yeah.
Fuck. Wow.
I don't know if that geologically exists, but in fantasy, but it really can.
I mean, yeah, like a dormant volcano, probably.
No, I'm thinking ice. one that's spewing ice.
Like,
it's, like, it's almost like an avalanche, except it's shooting up into the air.
Yeah.
Wow.
Reverse volcano. I love
it. Yeah, it's like a white dragon's cold breath.
Yeah.
It all adds up.
Oh, there you go.
There's a giant cold dragon living in it. Sweet. I think that. That's a great starting spot. Caldwell, do you want to talk a little bit about, or do you?
Oh,
or
actually, technically, I am next.
You're next.
Yes,
okay.
I did technically. Mm-hmm. Okay, next.
We have to honor the dice.
Why don't we go in least likely to most likely order?
Really? Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Okay, the first one is just a sentence that I had in my head last night, and I was like, oh, I would love to play that. A tight grandma.
A tight grandma.
Just like like attractive. Pilates toned grandma.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Emily, don't say the other five ideas.
Yeah, you got it.
This one is perfect.
This is kind of Tarragon's tight grandma.
No, because she's not tight. She's just a grandma.
Okay.
So I was like, what's one that's like I just like had the phrase in my head and was like that would be really fun.
She has to keep telling people she's a grandma.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she keeps it tight? Or like, what do you mean by tight?
She keeps it tight.
She wants to be a hot grandma.
Hot grandma. Okay. Number two is we're going least likely to most likely. Yeah.
I mean, debatable, but go on.
And number two is just that I still keep really wanting to do someone who does like poison, but like have poison have more like status effects like a spell. But again, I just wasn't really in the mood to go poison for this campaign. I wanted something a little, it just felt like kind of wrong or off or something. Like it felt too dark for this.
Poison feels Eldermorny in a way to me.
I think that was definitely the case. Mm-hmm. Okay. The third least likely, actually, this is another one that I rejected. I like really got excited about it, but then I rejected it because it was, again, like a little too Eldermorn. It's basically like, and there's this god named Umberly. They call her in D&D lore, and she's basically like the goddess of like the under the sea, deep sea, and is like, and so I was like really into reading about her and like the idea of like playing someone whose god is just like a hungry, yawning portal that must be fed. And so like your worship is not like, oh, I delight in my god's love. It's like, no. Every day I wake up and I fucking appease my god. Yeah. That is what my religion is. And I do it so that you can go fucking celebrate your god, you know? So I got like really into like being, and I was like, oh, I can have like deep sea creatures and like that would be my aesthetic. But it just felt too dark. So someday I would like to play maybe like a paladin or cleric of Umberly and be really, really into just like appeasing a insatiability that must be appeased.
I'm picturing like a giant lanternfish mouth.
Oh, yeah. For
this
sure.
god? Yeah, okay.
For
oh, that's
sure.
sick.
Like fully that. But again, it just felt too dark and didn't feel like of this world. Okay. So then fourth least likely.
So we're getting down to the final three.
Yeah. We're getting into moderately
likely. We're into the
likely.
Top three.
Okay, so top three. So maybe third most likely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
It's a shift for sure.
Everyone who's mad at me, just bite your tongue.
Bite your fingers.
Bite your fingers. Bite your knuckle.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like trying to think of Dragon Elf, but I was like maybe not vibing off of it too much, just feeling like I kind of wanted them to be antagonists. But I did come up with a Dragon Turtle Elf because I thought it would be funny to be like like so lame compared to the other Dragon Elves and just so rejected by them.
Would you be like a tortoise?
No.
Or would you just have like a little turtle hat?
I think I would be an elf because that's what the dragon elves are like, are elves.
But the head of it, instead of it being a dragon, would be a dragon turtle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
Something bad would probably have happened to her dragon turtle. She'd go to the other dragon elves and be like, we're in trouble. They'd be like, who the fuck? You live in the water?
That's pretty sick.
Your dragon is a turtle.
I think it's fun, but it maybe felt a little too, like, coming up with like a silly elf feels like what I did for campaign one. So I felt like maybe it wasn't the most creatively enticing to me. Although I still think it seems fun to play for sure.
Yeah. It'd be fun to have steam breath, but it wasn't very strong. So all you could do with it was like, you know, get the wrinkles out of clothes. So maybe consider that.
Yeah. Okay. This soldier could be of use to us yet.
And then maybe my second most likely is...
This is one of the ones in combat yesterday?
This is one of the ones in combat yesterday.
Oh.
I can't believe you're calling me out for this verb. It's just, you have to live as these characters. Grandma. You have to know that it's going to be fun to play.
Yeah, I know. I don't think it's intimate.
Okay.
If it's intimate, why didn't you do it with me and Caldwell?
Then why? If it's not intimate, then why am I blushing?
Second most likely is I kind of wanted to be like a bard who wants to be a poet but has never been in love. This is once I started kind of like thinking. This came up when I was thinking of Spring Eladrin. I'm like, what does that remind me of? And then I was like, oh, poetry. And then so I thought it'd be kind of fun to be like a bard who like wanted their sword to be mightier than their pen, or wanted their pen to be mightier than their sword, but unfortunately they were not a very good writer. So that's it's kind of just someone who wants to be a writer but has like literally no life experience and is also quite bad at it.
Oh, that's really I feel like I relate to that on a personal level.
Yeah, I think it just seemed fun to like, first off, like, I truly don't even know what good poetry is. So, like, trying to, like, write sonnets and just being so bad at it feels fun. And then...
It's also very funny if they're just an extremely good fighter, too.
So that's what it is. It would be, like, a swords bard. I think I did swords bard paladin because it's fun for them to be a better fighter than they are a writer.
Yeah.
And just, like, the idea that you would, like deliver a final blow, but then like maybe say something clever at the end and be like way more powerful of what you said, or way more proud of what you said.
Yeah.
seems
that's
fun.
Also really funny for the like the super soldier aspect. They like beefed up your being good at fighting and not good at poetry.
Yeah, you thought like it would enhance your brain as well, and it has, but it just like gives you quicker reflexes and you're like, no, this is not what I needed.
I think I was like kind of thinking that like, you know, like the sort of like paladin thing is like you like maybe were part of some sort of like ecstatic creative background, you know, and then you weren't good enough for it.
Right. Just picturing the scientist saying like, unfortunately, the procedure has removed your ability to rhyme.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works, but
I think
it's
I
gone.
Also thought it was funny to like think of like what would a writer who couldn't pay the bills do? I guess they go become a super soldier so that they can fund their writing.
Starbucks was full, so I became a super soldier.
And then the last one, which I probably maybe had the most interest in, is just a malfunctioning Eladrin who basically like went through a breakup and or like got dumped, and instead of like going to get bangs or some other like drastic breakup thing, she just like enlisted to become a super soldier, and now her sort of like fey magic and the arcane magic are clashing. And
so
I think
this is being a soldier is your rebound.
I'm essentially like rebounding by making like a big life change, but then it like absolutely fucked me up. And so now I'm like malfunctioning and like my magic is messed up, and I think that would be for that the Spring Eladrin. I kind of pictured her vibe being more of like an April shower spring, so kind of like the ugly duckling spring. So I think it would be like all kind of like rain themed.
Oh, that's really fun.
And there was a possibility of a duck.
Oh, that was the only one I had even any thought for a familiar, because I thought it would be funny if because I like saw something about, I was like looking up about rain, and I saw like the expression nice weather for ducks. And I was like, oh, it'd be really funny if a duck was always following me around, and it was like so embarrassing and such a hassle for me, but like he loved that I make it rain. I can make it thunder and
ducks
rain.
Ducks are super, they're super brave. They'll attack, man.
Yeah. They'll defend. Extend their wings. They got a big wingspan.
Oh, yeah. I got chased by a duck doing CrossFit over the summer.
Really?
Whoa, really?
Yeah. Yeah. It came at me.
You were doing it outside, like near a lake?
Yeah, one of like you know you like do your pull-ups and then you had to run 200 meters, and then I would like run down to this river and back,
and
there was a bunch of ducks down there.
Wow.
And every single time I did it, they got a little closer, and the last time they just went at me.
Did you talk to your instructor? That might have just been part of the course.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
The duck actually was the instructor. I went inside to tell on them, but it was the duck.
It was a different duck.
You have
duck.
To do pull-ups while getting dive bombed by ducks.
Yeah, quack fit is what it's all about in 2022.
That's right.
So it sounds like ducks are really ferocious. So actually, I probably should have one because they sound like they're like statted out.
Yeah, the mighty ducks.
It's right there in the name, mighty.
Yeah. So I think that, yeah, that's all my six.
Okay, can we review? We've got malfunctioning Eladrin.
Yeah.
Paladin.
The bad poet
bad
fighter.
Bad poet bard. God. He's never going to be a good poet. He's just going to keep getting better at weapons.
That's really tough. That one feels like it's so much fun to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the very intimate battle we had yesterday.
Very intimate. Very private. Intimate.
Stop. Yeah. The very private, very intimate battle we had.
Careful.
Both were very powerful, but it was kind the College of Swords mixed with Paladin of being able to do smites and flourishes in the same thing was pretty insane.
It was pretty
wow. Powerful. Oh, that's juicy.
And then that makes it funnier too. Because the stronger you
that's
get.
That's what I'm saying is like, it's so funny to be able to smite, but then like really wish you could write a poem.
Yeah. Smite not right.
Not right.
And it really scales too. Because like the stronger you get and the same you stay at poetry,
yeah.
Yeah.
It gets funnier each level.
I think there's like something charming to me about playing someone who wants to be good at something that they're just maybe not destined to be good at, you know, but has like such a simple affection for it that it's maybe their small growth in it will be nice to them.
Yeah.
And a lot of artists just aren't recognized in their time.
That's also true. Maybe that's what she's going through. Paladin Bard was maybe I felt more powerful as it, but the Eladrin thing, it's like a sorcerer cleric, and there's something fun about potentially having the option to change, like if I were to change to a different season, right, I could come up with new subclasses, you know? So I like came up with like, what would be the subclasses for the summer? What would be the subclasses for the autumn? What would the subclasses for the winter be? So it's like maybe someone who kind of like craves newness like me, because I do where I'm like bard and sorcerer, you get pretty locked into a limited number of spells, and you know, I wonder if I'll get
mm-hmm. would allow you to access like even more spell lists.
It would allow me to just like every once in a while just like, you know, change out certain flavor spells for other flavor spells, and it might just that would be really interesting,
right? Because it's kind of like what we did for Bev when you changed subclasses for a little bit. Mm-hmm. If we wanted to work in some kind of like, oh, I'm this Eladrin when I'm in this mood, but like
I think
down the line, not mood necessarily, but more like form, like.
Yeah, I think
not
it's
something that
I think it's
on
like
then.
There could be a thing that it's like, do I change with the seasons, which might be fun creatively to do because I like paying attention to the weather, or do I change in response to, you know, external, like a big external event? It seems like it would be open to that, but who knows? Maybe I'll just be like, you know what? I'm fucking loving this. I'm sticking here. So who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Tight Grandma really didn't get a fair shot.
Yeah. I think you've decided on Tight Grandma. Is she a grandma? She's so tight. How?
She couldn't be older than 47.
Sorry.
Must be a new grandma.
I do think that the top two are both really, really awesome. I love I love the grouping of College of Swords and Paladin. That's super fun. I haven't really seen it before. Mm-hmm. I will say that the like wild magic messing with the arcane stuff and vice versa very, very, very much fits into the world.
Fits into the world. It definitely feels like the little bard paladin who wants to be a good poet could kind of go into any world. Whereas this, it feels like the malfunctioning Eladrin maybe feels more of this world.
You know, actually, like Hard One died first season, spoilers, but you know, I got to play a character for a few episodes.
Yeah,
so you can always go to that backup.
Yeah, that's true.
You got a lot of stuff in your back pocket for this campaign for sure.
It's gonna be.
Do you have?
I'm gonna just keep getting myself killed so that I can keep coming back as tighter and tighter grandmas.
Holy shit, that grandma's even yelling.
How have you gotten tighter?
This is, do you have any names in mind?
I think the only thing I thought was for the malfunctioning Galadrim, because it's like rain and like sort of early spring, I think I was thinking Zephyr.
Yeah.
Zephyr.
Because I thought maybe Zeph might be like a cute sort of nickname.
Yeah.
Zeph is incredible. I love a Z name, I will say.
Yeah, that's true, right? But that was all I thought of. I think the bard I literally just came up with yesterday. Because I kept thinking about spring, like, oh, what do I want to do about spring? And I don't know.
Did the bard paladin, would you like alternate levels so that you could like continue getting better?
I would just do those two levels of paladin. I think I would have more fun taking levels of bard.
Gotcha, for sure.
Yeah, you just,
I guess, like divine smite, like as long as you have the ability, you can scale it up with spell slots. I think.
Oh so yeah, it caps out at five. Paladin levels. But. Or it caps out at level 4.
Yeah,
basically.
There'd be no reason to take multiple paladin levels besides the first two.
When we did play it, though, I was like, oh, shit, you go through spell slots when you play paladin.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's true. But bards get, like, level 9 spells and shit. Yeah. So they get, they get high.
But you can't
spells.
Do a smite. At, I mean, I guess you could do, like, one of the lower. You could do, like, a searing smite or something at 9th level.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But...
yeah, regular smite.
I feel like there was.
5D8.
Oh, this is another thing. Is that so? Murph also gave me like a little book of spells for
so intimate
for Christmas.
Emily, was, how dare you?
Oh, really? I don't
this
have
is
to
so
say
intimate.
It. Okay, I won't say it.
I'm joking. I'm
so Murph. He came up with part of why I thought of this was Murph gave me. He made like he bound a little book of like old 3.5, 2, 4. Level spells and named it Miroslav's Magic Manual for me for Christmas. And there's a cantrip for bards.
Good.
It has a strange name, like Amanusis or something like that. And it's basically you can talk and dictate to a little quill that writes for you.
Nice.
Great.
And I thought that was really a fun cantrip. And there was just a lot of fun bard ones. Like there was a second level one called like Finale that like basically you use an action to take one attack and you crit on a 19 or a 20 and get to add a little more damage. But if you don't kill the person, then everyone has advantage on attacks against you.
That's so good.
What a bargain.
Yeah.
I wish there aren't many bargain spells in like current D&D, but I feel like the older stuff was a little more like you get something and you give something.
Oh, there was a lot of gambling. So many cool like bloody spells that are like there was actually a really awesome wizard spell that I actually did make a whole this is what I made the whole Umberly devotee character around, which is you heal someone by hurting yourself. You basically sacrifice hit points to give to heal someone else. And I was like, that is sick healing.
Yeah. Blood magic.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So that's all.
Sweet. Great. So tight grandma it is.
Tight grandma. Tight grandma and a succession of tighter grandmas.
TG.
Caldo, do you want to talk?
Thank God it's tight grandma.
That's what the Eldritch Knights look like, the official ones.
Yeah,
just
they're
a
all
bunch of tight grandmas.
Tight grandmas. This is so funny. I have a character that I was going to... introduces being one kind of person, but I think she's going to be a tight grandma.
Yes!
Great.
So tight grandma will make it.
I can't wait to just whisper about, like, she's, like, really tight,
she's,
right?
What is her process? Like, what goop products
just
are you
constantly
using?
Just like, she's a grandma.
I think she's Pilates, not yoga, right?
Let me see your medicine cabinet.
Caldwell, what are your 6 tight grandma ideas?
I actually have a D12 of ideas, so I'm going to rattle those off.
Great. Loose uncle.
A D12, technically that could be one.
There's nothing wrong with having a lot of ideas.
I know.
I had a ton of ideas, but I think I've narrowed it down. I know what type of character I'm going to play.
Okay.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up, they are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
I'm going to play a bullywug.
Yeah.
Whose name is either Solomon Bufo or Lonnie Bufo. I have not decided.
Wow.
How do you spell Bufo?
B-U-F-O. It's the scientific name for frog or for toad.
Nice.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Really
Solomon cute. Is funny because it sounds like salamander.
Yeah, I kind of like Solomon Bufo.
Solomon
I
think it would... Bufo. And then Saul especially... is a pretty fun nickname.
Oh, Saul's good.
Yeah, Saul Bufo is kind of that would be the kind of the name that I would use, I think. So, like, I am thinking that they're, like, a bullywug that has, like, grown up in Esri, I think. I'm not totally sure, like, what their backstory is, whether they were, like, just kind of abandoned in Esri or whether they, like... I think I had an idea, and I was talking with Murph about it, where, like, maybe they were adopted into, like, this kind of program for, like, you know, like... preparing youths for like a basically a battle school or something like that.
Yeah. Almost like the idea is that it's almost like a boarding school to then like get a job at the company essentially. So it's like kind of dark, but like it's it's like send your child here, learn magic, and then they just get fucking conscripted into war.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like a Night's Watch Witcher sort of thing where it's just like you can either send them there as a prestige thing or if you have nowhere else to go. And I think it's like, maybe he got like adopted into that. But I think I just have this like very funny mental image of like this like roster of like military cadets and then one frog.
Yeah.
I like that you're a city frog, that you grew up in Esri.
Yeah.
City frog. This is my swamp, baby. but for like classes, I have my main thought that I really liked, going back to what Murph was saying about like unexpected side effects, was doing a Way of the Astral Self monk.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Which is, I like the idea of a monk for a frog because it's like they mesh really well because like monks are all about like agility and movement and like frogs.
Are you going to get a tongue attack?
I think because I get so many unarmed strikes, I could definitely hit someone with my tongue. If
yes, definitely.
Great. Yeah, you're punching people with your tongue. That's good.
We were talking about it on tour, and like the idea of like a like getting slapped by a frog is just so funny.
Just a wet hand.
Yeah, it's very funny to picture like fainting with the tongue and then just doing like a slap with my actual fist.
Yeah.
but the thing about astral self is that you get like basically. These like celestial arms that you can use for unarmed strikes. They can either like go over your hands like, you know, spiritual gauntlets, or you can like separate them and it basically looks like you kind of get like a Goro look where you have four arms going.
Or which... maybe three tongues. Could these celestial arms be celestial tongues? Sorry, that's actually not a good idea. I was saying it as a joke.
You can't float these things to Caldwell.
But I'm not sure like what the arms would look like yet, because you do get to choose as like a monk, like what like the flavor of the arms is. So I don't know if it's like the sort of thing where like this is like a side effect of the procedure, or if this is something that was like, you know, buried deep within Solomon. But I don't know. I think like that's something
we can explore. Have you considered they look like toad arms?
Ooh, like big bulky toad arms.
Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah.
I think that could be good. I thought they could be like demonic in a way as well. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of, this might be something like Murph and I need to discuss later on. I also thought it'd be fun if like when you first see them, they're like bandaged, so you don't know what's under them.
Ooh. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost think that like your thing can be like, I think a lot of these Synth Eldritch Knights are just these like in like this big kind of bulky armor. And I think that very much did not fit your style. And I'd say even like maybe the arms weren't, because like a monk mechanically can't wear heavy armor. So maybe literally your powers wouldn't manifest. Don't manifest when you wear the uniform.
But you're saying sense.
So my arms would be like giant, like metal gauntlets, like spectral gauntlets.
They could be that. I meant more just like the armor, like you literally can't wear the stuff that the normal soldiers wear. Like it literally hides your power. It literally, the arms do not come out. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I like that. But I do.
It's rad that they would be gauntlets too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's something fun about like, it's like I wanted it so bad, but like I couldn't, you know, like the armor was too heavy, or like, you know, it concealed my power. But like if I take it off, you see these like spectral versions of the armor.
That's your armor. Right. Yeah.
That's pretty sick, actually.
Yeah.
That's tight.
Yeah, that feels pretty good. I had one other idea, which I thought was kind of fun, but this is like, you know, just because we're sharing, I might say which is, it might not work because I know Emily's also leaning towards Bard, but I thought it'd be fun to do College of Valor and basically have it be that like that my character was like the mascot for his school. I really like the idea of having a giant like flat sword that is also a billboard, and it's just like it has like the logo of the mothership like on it, and it's like a holograph sword. So it just like like waves that around in battle is like the other idea I was thinking of.
So you've got like school spirit.
Exactly. Yeah. It'd be like, you know how there's always like a bannerman or like a flag wielder in battle. It would be like that, except like as like a College of Valor bard. So basically inspiring others as like the mascot in battle.
It's all, just a cute little frog. It's also very funny because I think both characters, like just the idea that you guys probably would have been at this for a while, so just being like late 20s or early 30s but really sticking to the fact that you were the mascot in college or whatever.
Yeah,
the best year, like that was the highlight of your life.
You know, I used to be the mascot. Yeah.
You can take the man out of the costume, but you can't take the costume out of the man.
Yeah. Here, watch me do a flip. Just absolutely eat shit. But yeah, that's, I don't know, that's a fun idea, but the Astral Monk seems really fun, and also just like fits pretty well. So I'm leaning more towards that, but you never know. Maybe there's a tight grandma in my future.
Whoa, all tight grandmas campaign.
We have a week before we record.
I think all these ideas are awesome. Kind of whatever you guys decide between the like higher ranked things. But I think that like kind of core group of like the malfunctioning sorcerer, the monk.
Yeah, I think that even hearing it, it's like I'm kind of trying to figure out why the bard who wants to be a poet would be rejected from the super soldiers. And I'm like, there's not as much of like a sort of like something, an obvious reason of why, you know. So that,
right, because it's that that build. It's almost like you are exactly what they were hoping.
Yeah, they got it.
Right. And it's more like I'm not what I hope to be.
Yeah, it's just your personality they don't like.
Yeah.
Well, she can be in another campaign someday if she doesn't, or maybe we'll meet her along the way.
I hope so.
I would imagine that the three of you, it would kind of be like Caldwell's character, like literally can't
wear the uniform. Like, yeah. Literally just, like, would always lose in sparring until, like, he busted out of it, at which yeah. point he would get, like, disqualified.
Yeah.
I would say Jake's character probably, like, couldn't pass certain spellcasting tests just because it would be like, what if instead of this...
Like, do, like, an arrow thing, and it's just, like, ice knife.
Yeah, ice knife, yeah.
Fuck!
You misty step, but leave, like, a slick thing of ice where you misty stepped from. Yeah. Or you misty yeah. step into ice and slip.
So I think it's, like, just it's just as effective. It just, like, doesn't, you know, qualify you. And then I think M's character would be, like, straight up dangerous.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking, like,
she's a liability.
Yeah, because, like, water's, like, a good conductor for electricity. So there's, like, something fun about, like, zapping someone who is, like, the essence of, like, rain showers.
Yeah.
Just,
whoa.
Like...
Ooh, yeah. Those warm summer rain showers.
Yeah, it's like you're glitching rain. Out.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Basically, you guys are not fully in, like, the elite part of the Ezri army. You guys are just, like, guards now that are kind of just, like, around town.
Yeah.
And great.
Oh, my God, I can't wait to have contentious arguments with a squadron that's better than us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're the B team.
So you guys
no,
get,
I think we're, like, the
D team.
Like,
D team, yeah.
D team. Got it.
You guys get, like, really shitty missions. And one thing that'll be introduced in the first episode is this idea that the like squads that you guys have, so you guys are a three-person squad. Each one has like a almost like a psychic mage, like a precognitive mage.
Is that in Ravnica that they have?
Yeah, it's a Ravnica thing. That's but the cool. idea is that you guys have this precog mage who has like a little crystal ball and will kind of like tell you things that are like popping up in town, but your like other people's mages are like really, really like on the ball, and yours is like
crystal ball
doesn't really want to be there. Like wants to work her way up, and like her
she's,
aunt,
like, phoning it in.
Her aunt is like the PR person, so she's like, I got really bad missions for you guys. I don't. Is that okay? Or
oh my god. This whole conversation has really finally, because I've been kind of freaking out, being like, what the fuck am I, like, I've been like, Murph, what do I need to make the music sound like? And he's like, Final Fantasy. And I'm like, I did that already. But this whole conversation that we've just had, I'm now having musical ideas just from hearing these descriptions, because it's feeling really distinct to me now.
Ooh. I love that.
It's all freezing into place, much like the fire that Jake's character was supposed to start.
Shit.
Yeah, and the final part of the test, just a quick cantrip to make the fire.
Coming right up.
Okay.
No.
You've wetted the sticks. It's going to be a little bit harder, but I think with a quick firebolt cantrip, this will be easy.
Not a problem. Fuck me.
Okay, you've frozen the wet sticks.
Give me a flint.
Just sends you over to Emily and Caldwell's characters who are over in the guard area.
I kick soot into the fireplace. sit down so heavily.
I really like the idea that we're paired with someone that just hates the job, because I do think that my character, like, despite everything, just like loves working for Mothership.
Yeah.
Just like is really on board with it. There's an image from an anime that I saw that like I really think helped define my character. I don't even know what anime it's from. It's just like an image that keeps getting passed around, and it's just a picture of a green frog next to a giant fried chicken leg, and the caption is, "How delightful that even a frog like me could eat fried chicken." And I just feel like that's Solomon at his core.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. I think we've got a solid framework going into episode one, and this was very helpful for me, and I hope it was helpful for you guys.
Absolutely.
I feel really good.
It was actually.
So that's why we're doing it so
even
early.
Helpful for me music wise this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean that's huge.
So we're really sorry for the messy feed, everybody.
Yeah, sorry for the messy feed.
We're so sorry.
I'm so sorry. Oops, I spilled into your feed.
Yeah.
And get excited for February when we're dropping episode 2 first.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do it all out of order, just kind of for fun. No, it will be helpful though, because like, you know, we don't want to get like totally lost in feedback or whatever, but it is helpful if like, you know, we pitch an idea here and then someone's like, oh, that's Goku, like you just that's already a character, like you already
oh,
did
no.
it, you know what I mean?
Is Goku a tight grandma?
He's a tight grandpa for sure.
Fuck.
Absolutely,
he's such a tight grandpa.
Fuck.
In GT.
Yeah.
Come on now.
God, you know what, nothing's new, nothing's original, everything's been done. Okay, right. Okay. Oh yeah. Brother, Goku's a tight grandma.
It all comes back to Goku.
It always comes back to Goku.
The origin.
Sweet, guys. Thank you all so much for listening. We're going to wrap this one up. We'll be back over the next 2 weeks with, I think we'll probably do a live show and a short rest and two dungeon courts to round out the month.
Yeah.
Before that, you can head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't see ya.
Whoa.
And I think we'll probably do something kind of fun. And maybe mixed bag-esque, just because we've already done a hearth side about the world.
Yeah, we covered
so
it.
We've done it. We've done it pretty recently. So I think we'll just do something. We'll put something fun and bonus up there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Pardon our mess, but we're gonna have fun.
We're just having a little fun in January. You know, a dry January is a thing, but for us, it's a very, very wet January.
Sloppy.
I like that. I like that attitude. Sloppy January.
Yeah.
Just like absolutely be your worst self.
Yeah, truly. Like you be your best self in February.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give yourself another month.
Actually,
or don't
though,
ever be
I
your
am
best
privately,
self.
I am privately waking up really early. I've become an early morning person, and that's a really nice change.
Hmm. It's true.
Not sloppy. Stop doing it.
I woke up at 6 to pee, and M was up, and I was like, is this on purpose? I was like, what are you doing?
But the thing is, Emily, you're waking up early so you can be awful in other ways. You have more time in the day
exactly,
to really
yeah,
just
yeah,
fuck
yeah.
around and be a mess.
Oh, yeah. So I wake up good. At 6 a.m. and then I fucking dick around on my phone for 4 hours
yeah,
and then start
right.
at 10 like
go.
A normal awesome. Person.
You can get to the end of Instagram. Like, not even just the people you follow.
I honestly, yeah, if I woke up at 6, I don't know what I would do. I guess I would just start drinking at 5. Like, I can't be awake that long. That's
buddy,
too much.
Let me tell you, that's what we've started
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Sweet, guys. Anybody else have anything they'd like to plug?
I would love to shout out Madison Gorley, who
ooh,
made
yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
Illuck Henry theme. It's on my Twitter, just at Jake Hurwitz. It's a really beautiful song, and they
great.
Put a lot of effort into it. So you can go listen to it there.
Amazing.
Thank you, Madison.
Thank you, Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else, Caldwell?
I would love to plug some stuff from our P.O. box, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Huh. Why
fine,
not?
Fine, here we go. I'll be quick.
These shout out these nice people.
Matthew B. sent us an actual Hungry Trout Inn and Tavern sign.
Oh, that's
in our living room.
It's hanging in our living room. Yeah.
It's in our living room.
Amazing.
It looks awesome.
Yeah. Too bad that tavern has burned down. Ash Beanie sent in an actual mermaid sleeping bag. Despite not being made of grass, it looks super cozy.
It's
thank you, Ash
really
Beanie.
Amazing. I have to be honest, I gave it to one of the cats and the cat really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
There you go.
The cat got to be a little mermaid.
Don't put him in water. Allison S. sent a crocheted Zerk for Vane and a D20 cat toy. I'm honestly very excited to see what your cats roll with this, Murphy and Emily.
Amazing.
For their campaign that they're playing in. Let's see. Claire N. knitted Murph a beautiful two crew sweater and sent some Band of Boobs ornaments for the rest of us.
Whoa.
Aww, thank you so much for making the holidays extra cozy, Claire.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I need to see the sweater. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to bring it over. I have a huge box of stuff for y'all. let's see. Glenn F. from Stash Panda Good sent us some miniature skull ornaments and earrings.
Hell yeah.
They're really cool. I can't wait to put them on my tree next year and just forget that I put them there and then frighten myself.
And then be like, oh no, my dog ornament died.
And then, oh, this is great. Mahala J. of the Scuttlebutt Soap Co. sent us a bunch of bars of soap inspired by the Bohemia campaign. They smell so good. I think
amazing.
I'm finally going to have to start washing my hands now.
Oh,
that time.
Yeah, I think, you know, now's the time. You got to make positive life changes in 2022. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's all. I've got more stuff. If you want to send us things, it's 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027. Excited to shout out more things in the upcoming episodes.
Sweet. Thank you all so much for listening. You can follow us all on social media that we may or may not use. At CHMurph is me, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Eaxford is Emily, and at Jake Hurwitz is Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are.
The youth of a nation. We are.
The youth of a nation.
Go Mothership. Love you guys.
It's the end of the show, everyone, and you know what that means? It's time to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. Starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Haldor Frostback, Steelbreaker, and Matt M., fire giants who have emerged from beneath the surface of Frostwind, but not to cause any trouble. They just heard about some really good tapas in Asmodia and are planning a sick road trip. Darby M., Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Jibe G., Dylan B., and Dungeon Mama, Solomon's friend group from the Mothership boarding school. He was actually way more popular than you'd think, mostly due to the fact that licking his skin gets you super high. Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Andrew M., Beardman Dan, Scott D., and Danny P., a family of ducklings that have started following Zephyr around. They love eating bread, splashing in puddles, and dealing 10d6 piercing damage per round. Don't fuck with these ducks. Mixologist Michael McD, Vincent W., Nicole T., Victor T., Balnor's Boy, Andrew B., and Justin I., a group of Esri authors who just rejected Emily's character from their weekly poetry slams. Not because her poems were bad, but just because she kept accidentally divine smiting every time she snapped her fingers in support. Ragnar Fairwind, TJM the Gnome Barbarian, Kaylee E., Elena M., and Chele the Crayfay. Solomon's instructors at the Mothership Military Academy. They taught Saul how to fight with his tongue and have regretted it every day since. Those saliva stains are never coming out. Jared E., Daniel R., cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Phil Bear the Fabulous, and Richard X. Machina. Calder's overprotective family members. They spend every winter gathering bear pelts to make into giant snowsuits so that little Caldy would stay warm. And before you ask, yes, the snowsuit did have little ears attached to the top. Insulting, but cute. Michael L., Trust the Traveler, Sir Carl, Jory S., and Callum L., waiters at Solomon's favorite restaurant in Esri. They had to institute a no BYOB policy after Saul started bringing his own bugs. Come on, Saul. They have bugs on the menu. You're just being cheap. Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C., Sam B., and Mike H., indoor ladrin who don't want to associate with a season. They adorn themselves in soft pants, thrive under artificial light, and can only exist on our plane when a room is exactly 72 degrees. Udisha Mulet, the baby bronze dragon, Matthew E., Colton B., Adam G., Megan S., and Nabadger, the scientists who conducted the super soldier experiments on Zeph, Calder, and Saul. They had all just come back from lunch, and there's a slight chance an entire Oreo milkshake got dropped in the serum, but strangely, the records from that day went missing, so no one knows for sure. Panama James, Cummins the Bard, Captain Sigil, Nathan C., and Diana. Fish frozen in Ice Knife Falls. Don't worry, guys, we'll chisel you out of there. CC Lulu, Barnzenator, Michelle O, Alex W, Timmy R, and Jonathan W, the croc-wearing warrior. The G-team of super soldiers who mostly do coffee runs. Unfortunately for the D-team, that's going to put them in touch with people who can promote them to the C-team before the D-team even sees a raise. Lucas B, Aaron S, It's Kevin, Bionic Pookie, New York, and Cass Skateboard Cass. Poetry bards who can think of a rhyming couplet as a bonus action during a round of combat. Most characters need to use a whole action to do that. Steven C., Mike K., Lady Taco, Joy T., and Nara. Precognitive mages who spend a lot of time bickering and being mad about what each other is gonna do to each other. It's kind of like having someone cheat on you in a dream, but worse. Jake L., Nick W., Brave the Badger, Esme M., Justin P., and Smog in the TARDIS. Dragon turtle elves who wield shields made of shells, which they can completely hide their body under if a battle goes badly. Nathan, Casimir the All-Knowing, Jabari the Safari, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Giant Monsters on the Horizon, and Ghoulia Dulia, the lab technicians at the Super Soldier Lab. Look,
They tried their best to facilitate everyone's transformation, but maybe, just maybe, they took an early lunch during Jake Caldwell and Emily's characters' transformations. Thrath, Burly T, Percival Frederick Stein von Musel Klausowski de Rollo III, Christian A, J Dragonborn, and Joro the Unapropro. Tight grandparents. Here's the thing. These tight grandparents do yoga and Pilates. That is their secret. Liam D, The Sandrean, Ben A, Feldonis, and Dave H. Solomon's frog friends, who renounced a life of violence to advertise Budweiser. You gotta pay the bill somehow. Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, and Dustin S. Taught grandparents, like tight grandparents, but different enough that they get a different ability score improvement, and unlike tight grandparents, they get dark vision. Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Isabel F, Kyle H, the Time Walker, Emilio D, Two Left Eyes, and DPC's Awesome. Members of Calder's Cub Scout Troop. He could never light the fire, but boy, did he make a solid snow cone. Blair the Bug, Blair Barbarian, Cat C, Pork Chop, Minette F, and Pat L. Paladins of the Tight Grandma. These holy knights don't need a god, just a hot, hot grandma. Achutha A, Lauren H, Amber W, a.k.a. Hazelbat Latte, Joshua D, Elias Hawthorne, and Ryan S. Members of Solomon's Mothership Pep Squad. These cheerleaders are capable of leaping 30 feet straight into the air, which is impressive considering only half are frogs. The Charming Fluff, Brintley C, Micah B, Patrick H, and Ploops. The Esri Mighty Ducks. They're not a hockey team. They're just a crew of ducks that follow Zephyr around to catch some rain. Carly Ann, Addie, Birdie Save K, Lori P, Seth AJ, Spam Gaming the Not So Skilled Gamer, and Connor Savage. A-class Synth Eldritch Knights. These high-ranking super soldiers are absolutely going to bully the shit out of our heroes. Christopher J. Pebblepot, Logan S., Leviathan, BioQuirt 7, Remington CD, and Amber Dextrous. Calder's giant siblings. They're all super protective of him, but will occasionally huck him into an icy lake if he gets too annoying. Thrill of the Fright, Sullivan H, Trub Hop Dropper, Sydney T, Matt Y, and Alex C, Zephyr's friend crew who helped her through the breakup. They convinced her not to get bangs, but unfortunately failed to convince her not to become a failed super soldier. Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, Champ Wild, Valen, Sprite Pepsi, and Carlin C. Stunkbug's tailors, who could make armor to fit Saul if only Fraser attire was military approved. Louie is your dad, Jake, Ceci A, Matthew J, Tiara P, and Noah, the bagel of all things. Precognitive interns. These unpaid mages know exactly when their bosses need coffee and how much Splenda to use. Estelle, Baron S. Sebastian's romance partner from the Baronies, conflicted DM, Dandy, and M. Barber, synth eldritch knights who have a vendetta against Calder because they asked him to cast a spell to roast their hot dogs, but the dope froze them. Marcus P., Pup Kalish, Gabriel M., Learns the Balanced Druid, Dakota JP, and Pagos, self-proclaimed Fey Prince. Flies, hanging around the Eldritch Barracks, thinking they're safe, but they have another thing coming. We got a three-tongued frog down there. Katrin, Tracy P., the Crick Elf Librarian, Andy E., Lisa M., Holly Hyena, and Anthony A., ice climbers who regularly scale the ice knife and who all agree that it's tall enough to be called the ice sword. It just doesn't roll off the tongue the same way. Leah C., Abigail, May B., Kristen I., Egg Infinitum, and Sloth King 777, a group of tight grandparents who actually got tighter as they aged. They were quite loose as young adults.
Cal, just Cal. Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, and Neos, the novice monster hunter. Emily's other character ideas. Sorry you didn't make the top six, but we know in our hearts that you were all incredible. Lorelai and Kira Frost, Morgan M, Sticker, Zachary A, Stephen E, and Mr. Adams, the track team that Solomon used to be a mascot for. They'll tell you nothing inspired them more than a frog with a banner. They never won an event, but they were inspired as hell. Megan F, James F, Jimmy A, Cap'n Cappy, M4L, and the Dragon Ambassador. Calder's giant family. They were close growing up, and will always remember their fun tradition of stuffing Calder into one of their socks every Christmas. Wayfarer, Andrew B., Dalton B., Cope Fresh, Best DM James, and Lauren H. Zephyr's ex's friends. They have all vowed not to tell Zephyr's ex that she's had a glow-up into a super hot super soldier. Quite kind of them, really. And that's it. Thank you all. We love you all so much, and we are so excited to start this new phase with you. Mwah, mwah. Goodbye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.